What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is September 8th, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. This is your WWE Raw post-show review with AJ Lee back in the fold. I did join the SmackDown post-show on Friday following a ton of reporting that we had on FightfulSelect.com last week, the best $5.99 a month in the business, about the pitches around AJ Lee, and then just the straight-up confirmation that she was headed back to WWE, and it didn't disappoint. Excellent return for AJ Lee. I'm actually really glad that they put it on SmackDown. That show has needed it for quite some time, so I was so happy to see her back. She looks great. She's performing great from a microphone standpoint as well. And we're going to get into all that. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Send in a super chat or a humper chat if you want to talk about things. You want to let us know what you want to talk about. Go ahead and get those super chats and humper chats in. I'll be answering your questions, all that good stuff. If you like the Q&A format and element of it, FightfulSelect.com is the place for you. Not only do you support the original coverage that we do that gets, you know, aggregated everywhere and often irresponsibly, but Q&A articles every single day, a ton of which doesn't get aggregated. Q&A podcasts every week. Grapsity every other week as well. A special Ask Grapsity and Discord access. We broke the unfortunate news today that Wardlow had sustained another injury, looking like it might be a torn pec. But we are streaming on platforms everywhere. Happy to again announce that we are on the Blue Wire Network, as I just watched JJ McCarthy get absolutely destroyed. Ugh. Filthy. Filthy on Monday Night Football. But speaking of, next week's WWE Raw, and for the next few weeks, 7 p.m. Eastern. So this show starts probably about 9:30 Eastern. Your boy is stoked. Listen, I always thought, man, I won't ever be that old guy that doesn't like staying up late and doing all this stuff. I'm still up late, but man, I like these early shows. I really, really got spoiled with that afternoon. Those afternoon shows, man. Like I had it so easy with those afternoon shows. And let me tell you, we don't have it bad here in the States. We absolutely don't have it bad. It's all in prime time, but I feel for the UK fans. Absolutely do. Let's talk about WWE Monday Night Raw. Oh, man. I think I'm going to start with the opening segment and the main event. That way I can get that rant over with. I am so goddamn tired of interference and DQs and no contests and distractions in the main events of WWE Monday Night Raw. I am so far beyond it. It's boring. It's lazy. It's uninspired. Hardly anybody gets over as a result of it. It just insults you for watching the show. Now, I will say, at least tonight, there was a story beat that saw some development with Jey Uso. And I would have said, man, it's nice to see Jey Uso getting a new wrinkle, but the man has stayed over no matter what. But for the love of God, does this always have to be the main event? Does this always have to be something like that? I think every match tonight had something like that. Somebody said, that's what you get for not liking Superman. Eat that interference. Superman is so far down my 2025 movie list. It's like so, so far down. It was so boring, guys. It's the same old shit. I don't want to see Superman all the time either. But we did see an Usos promo. It's good to see the Usos back together. Like, they're going to be tied together. They're brothers. Like, come on, man. They're always going to be tied together, and that's okay. And Jey Uso has had his, I don't want to say his top level run, like it's the only one that he'll have, because I mean, he earned it. He worked really hard to get it and has been really solid with that and has stayed over. He's always over. And I don't think that you can underscore that. I do expect this Usos team to stay around at least, you know, semi-permanently in that regard, but they're interrupted by Braun and Bronson and then interrupted by LA Knight as well. And this, honestly, listen, the Braun and Bronson promo, there wasn't like a lot to it. It was to set up this main event later in the night with LA Knight. And it has felt an awful lot the last 2.5-3 weeks. Like Bronson and Braun are just completely detached from the vision, so to speak, because Seth Rollins is off doing his own thing. Like you see a little bit here and there, but it has felt so detached and a lot different than what they were doing prior, which makes me wonder at what point did this come together? Because it did seem like an abrupt change, right? And I hope that is a catalyst for the eventual turn. Now, I think Braun Breaker is becoming like, honestly, a really good heel. He's starting to get that heat out of me where I'm like, man, I want to see a guy get his ass whipped. Not a, I'm going to turn the channel because he's on the show type of heat. And Bronson Reed, we already know that within kayfabe and within the show, he's given Seth Rollins more than all he can handle, right? That's why Seth Rollins recruited him. Because Seth Rollins, the character, doesn't want to have to deal with Bronson Reed. And you've got to utilize this youth. You've got to utilize a youth movement of some sort. Like, it is good that WWE has a lot of guys in their mid to late 30s, early 40s who are draws and compelling and all that stuff. But you've got to infuse some youth in there. And I think that establishing Braun Breaker as a top guy would be really good. Like, my dream is that Obafemi comes up and erases John Cena, or right after Braun Breaker wins the world title, I think Obafemi should come up and smash him. That's what I think should happen. And then Obafemi should become like immediate world champion. I'd be completely cool with that as well. So, LA Knight wants to fight any Braun tonight. Braun Breaker, Ryan Braun, Bronson Reed. He didn't say Braun Strowman, which is interesting. But they have the match, and it ends with Bronson Reed pinning LA Knight. And I got to be honest, like, man, I don't know, like, the notes to LA Knight's song after it goes LA Knight, because the pop is always there. The pop is always louder than whatever his music is. I have long forgotten what the next notes are after LA Knight, because that man is also always over. And that's based on his work as well. DNC Digital says, are they leading to Vision Bloodline War Games? If we got to sit through 2.5 more months of interference and DQ just for Adam Pearce to finally in November say, that's it, I've had enough. And then he makes a War Games match. That would be really frustrating to watch unfold. That wouldn't be very creatively satisfying to see. I would not be enjoying that. So, I mean, do I think it will happen? Probably, but who's going to be on the Vision side? Like, if it's War Games, Seth Rollins, Bronson Reed, Braun Breaker, Becky Lynch, will you do 4-on-4? How will that work? I don't think so. Dave Koss says, didn't like the Jay thing. Not that his character shouldn't be edgy after taking L's. Just the timing of reuniting a beloved team only to immediately interject dissension, the next show makes no sense. So they did reunite the Usos. And in that opening segment, you saw LA Knight trying to work cohesively with Jey Uso. And he moves out of the way, and Bronson Reed ends up hitting the big squisher on Jey Uso. And he straight up says it. He's talking to Jimmy backstage. And LA Knight's got some points, man. I like that. LA Knight, his character is not going to look stupid. He'll give you the benefit of the doubt if it's going to benefit him, because he knows that there is power in numbers. But he's like, hey, that's an accident. And I don't really give a damn if you believe it or not, because it was an accident. And I'm not going to sit here complaining about it, because he's the reason that I didn't win the world championship. And oh, by the way, once upon a time, you were the reason that I lost the world championship or didn't win it. LA Knight, from a making sense standpoint, continues to be among the kings on that show. And listen, everything's carefully scripted, but also, like, it's interesting how it always seems to be him who makes sense of that, plays off of history. And that's something that I do think that WWE has gotten away from a little bit more of late, playing off that history. So I'm glad that LA Knight did that. Dave Koss says, I don't see how any of this helps LA Knight. Well, I don't think that they have seen him as a world champion, despite the fans, you know, being fine with it. And I think you could do it, especially with two title belts. I think you could absolutely do it. But LA Knight's not going to stop getting those reactions. So you're going to have to battle that. You're going to have to walk uphill on that. People aren't going to be pacified with the U.S. title. They already tried that once. They're not going to be pacified with just a top title program. They've already tried that. And they beat him. And he's still over. Dude is still over. You can't out-talk him. Even when he stumbles, he's able to recover. He's just got that thing to where he doesn't let it affect him. But at the end of Raw, I actually was interested in this. I don't know how the matches are going to turn out. But Fid says 100%. Actually, I'll get to that one momentarily. Jay ends up spearing LA Knight. And that's how we go off the air. And I actually really liked how they closed the show. One big-time, super over talent attacking another big time, super over talent, with neither one of them necessarily in the title picture right now. And then another guy there who, Jimmy Uso, he is not as over as Jay, but you know, maybe he gets reinvigorated. Maybe he gets motivated by this and he works his way in there, or maybe he's still going to play second banana to Jay. But I would like to see Jimmy get inspired and try to do something. Jay was always kind of the star there, but I actually liked how that ended. Didn't care much for the promo that started the show. I really loved LA Knight's promo. I really liked some of the threading that they did there. The match ending in DQ, I was like, man, come on. Come on. Dave Koss says, the only thing I really liked was Jimmy saying the Roman line, because that was obvious and happy they emphasized that. Yes, Jey Uso really was getting kind of standoffish about an awful lot of stuff. And Jimmy was like, you sound an awful lot like Roman right now, which, interestingly enough, they're cool with again. Roman doesn't sound like anything. He is in a kayfabe coma or something right now while he's overseas filming Street Fighter. Fid McAwesome. Hey, guys, be on the lookout. Down Under the Ring, great partners of ours. They interviewed Bryan Danielson for a 45-minute interview, I believe. Fid, is it up on your podcast platforms now? Go check it out there, but I do believe that we're going to have that here on Fightful this week. I am so excited to check out that interview. But he says, 100% agree on the new faces coming up. I think Ethan Page could be a main roster top guy. So I do too. I know a lot of people have naturally been like, oh, Ethan Page is coming up. Ricky Starks is coming up. Jordan Grace is coming up. NXT has a TV deal that is getting a good amount of money. They want to keep some established stars and established talent there as well. So I think that they're going to keep like sort of three or four three or four talent that can really help deliver on that show. And I think he's going to be one of them that does hang out there for quite a while. Guys, did you all see that I interviewed Sean William Scott today? I want to shout out my friend Najir at Big Gold Belt Media, who just happened to remember years ago that I said, man, I'd love to interview Sean William Scott. And I did. So I actually did that for Big Gold Belt Media to promote their Bad Man movie. And listen, I'm a big Rundown fan. I talked to him about The Rock, talked to him about all of that. But listen, he's pretty famous for inspiring you to do something. And that's hanging out with your wang out. And if you want to do that and make a good impression, use Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL. You might say, Sean, why'd you hit us with that? Why'd you do that? Because I want to help you. Maybe you don't have that main event performance right now. Maybe you don't have that main event confidence. Maybe you need to get those reps in, right? Maybe you're just looking for a romantic evening with a piece of pie. Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL gets you your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. You do their online consultation. You don't have to wait in line at the doctor's office, anything like that. And if approved, it ships straight to your door. That means you don't have to go wait in line at the pharmacy, anything like that. They're going to make sure it's delivered safely, discreetly, all that good stuff. That way you can rock out with your cock out. Thanks to Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL. Appreciate our friends over at Blue Chew. Always do. Lovely people. Lovely people. They bought me a birthday dinner one year. Parker Hines says, has Raw gotten too formulaic? Yes, it has. And we see it with a lot of shows, right? Like in the Vince era, it was very, very rematch oriented, like over and over and over rematches. A couple years ago in AEW, it was gang wars over and over and over. Gang wars, gang wars, gang wars. All right. I mean, even formulaic in the sense that they have one women's match and it used to happen at 9:30 all the time. I do think that it's gotten quite formulaic and I hope that they step out and do something different. Tom Townsend says, have Seth, Braun, Bronson, and Becky been on screen together since Clash in Paris? Seems strange they haven't. Thoughts on that? So that's what I was mentioning earlier. It feels very detached from the rest of the show. It feels very like, very isolated from everything. And I feel like it needs to be brought back in. And we need to see a little bit more than that isolation that we do see. So hopefully they add a little bit to that and you can... Sorry for the dead air. I'm trying to think of how to word this in an appropriate manner. I want to see some integration there. I want to see Bron Breakker, talking with Becky. I want to see some of that. That's what I want to see. I want to see some of those. Got the AJ Styles pipe bomb. Quote unquote. So this afternoon, actually, let's go back a little bit.
Yeah, boys.
At FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. Please support original coverage because if original coverage goes away, there is nothing left for the aggregators to aggregate. But we had reported a while back that he actually had signed a one-year extension with WWE. Now, he had said a couple different times that he was on his last contract. This is like 6 years ago, right? Like, he said this for quite some time. But we'd reported he signed a one-year extension. Last week, we added to that and said that he actually signed until around February. So we added a little bit more detail there. John Alba of Sports Illustrated, good friend of the show, said that he had been feeling out some things around the convention scene, et cetera, earlier this year. And then he cut a promo, which, by the way, his son commented on Instagram indicating that Triple H wasn't booking him well. I think his son's in on this elaborate super work. Because listen, this promo was scripted. And Ryan says, any idea what the AJ Styles promo was about in the commercial break prior to his match where he said someone doesn't want him there? He is alluding to Triple H because that is the common belief online now after his son made that comment. He said, you know, Mishin's not with me now. Anderson and Gallows are gone. Feels like somebody wants to keep me from winning. It's a scripted promo. That's it. Like, all these promos are scripted. You do not go out there with a microphone, look at the hard camera without a script in today's WWE, unless maybe you're The Rock or John Cena for his last appearance, maybe. But it was planned. And I'm interested in it. What will the last 5 months hold for AJ Styles? I mean, he's a smart guy, man. He's a very smart guy. If I were him, I would get to February and I would say, okay, people bid for me. How much can I make doing signings? How much is WWE going to offer me? What will AEW offer me? What can New Japan throw in there? Even TNA. See, TNA won't be able to work with like AEW talent or anything like that, but TNA, how bad do you want me? How bad do you want this run? See what you can get out there. Because he has said stuff to Chris Van Vliet, like that he might retire at 50. I think he should go out and get the money that he deserves. So he also defeated El Grande Americano with a sick transition into the finish. You might be surprised to learn that there was some interference here from another El Grande Americano. That's an original finish that we haven't seen 10 times at all. We have definitely not seen El Grande Americano interfere like 10 times on this WWE Raw program. Completely new, completely fresh, not creatively bankrupt whatsoever. Dragon Lee also gets involved. We haven't seen that one yet. We haven't seen Dragon Lee take issue with El Grande Americano, have we? Fantastic performers, lazy creative. Speaking of fantastic performers, Raquel Rodriguez, I'm about to, again, continue to glow about her. But let's get to these super chats. Thoughts on Tony D'Angelo coming up to the main roster? Probably time. It's probably time. I don't know if you can do that character, though, right? Like, I feel like that character has been explored to its capacity in NXT. And it's a very NXT character, right? And while we're speaking about a youth movement, I mean, 30 is young on the main roster these days. So I would imagine that that will be somebody that they probably bring in and have put in at least a spot where he can at least prove himself. But I thought that of Carmelo Hayes too, and they have just set him up for I can't even say they set Carmelo Hayes up for failure. They haven't given him the opportunity to succeed or fail, really. He hasn't gotten really any opportunities. But I think that Tony D'Angelo should be brought up. I think that both he and Carmelo should be given more opportunities to excel and hopefully break through to the next level. Dwayne Wade's statue says, I hope all this leads to a full Usos heel run. When you've got a guy that is so hugely over as Jey Uso is, it's hard to really give up on that. Raquel Rodriguez, man. So I know that a lot of old heads are kind of hit or miss on their criticisms, and a lot of them don't even really pay attention to the wrestling. They just like to get on their shows and complain and whine and all that stuff, and there's very little fair criticism, and there's a whole lot of burying on when it comes to a lot of the older generation. And Kevin Nash told Raquel Rodriguez, or said to Raquel Rodriguez, I wish she would work bigger. And that's something that he got told very early in his career. by The Undertaker, actually. I think he told The Undertaker, or The Undertaker told him he better never do a leapfrog again. He better never avoid contact. And Raquel could have taken that and ignored it. And listen, there's plenty of criticism that, or advice that should be ignored. But not that one, because Raquel took that to heart, and her offense has been fantastic since then. Her in-ring work has been fantastic. She has worked with a wonderful aggression in her matches that it seems like she is controlling all of them. Like some of the offense we saw, her slinging Lyra Valkyria en route to this victory by her hair. And I love the bow and arrow around the post. Oh my God, that bow and arrow around the post was just nasty. Such a great piece of offense. Like something that you look at and you go, okay, that's something that Kevin Nash would probably look at and go, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I meant. That's the ticket. I love that. The pendulum elbow, which I can't remember what it's called. She does those corkscrew elbows out of the Vader bomb position and spins them around. Really good stuff. There's the definitely needs some work, the slingshot jackhammer-ish. But they're like, it was more like a Billy Gunn 1999 style suplex into a slam. Like Billy Gunn did a quote unquote jackhammer, but it was more like you'd lift them up and you would, instead of like cranking them over with your shoulder, you would take your palm and slam them down. She did that out of what I think was a slingshot. She's going to need to work on that one, I think, but it's promising. And if she wanted to use the jackhammer as a finish, who the hell stops her now, right? Who stops her? There were a couple other spots, which the Tanabomb got the win. Roxanne got involved to some capacity. I breathed and there was interference of some capacity. But Lyra's strikes were really good. But this sunset flip bomb that they did and they teased the back and forth, that was next level. Raquel Rodriguez is doing some really good stuff. Lyra Valkyria has capitalized on every opportunity that she has been given. This has been fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff. Dominic gets questioned by JD regarding Grande Americano. He's just, you know, preparing for this Friday. Fun looking card, by the way. Tom Townsend says AJ Styles going disgruntled employee, somehow a tie-in to a possible Karrion Kross return. They had some connectivity at one point, didn't they? Yeah, they did. I mean, Karrion Kross was, working promos on him for a while, and they had a match. But Karrion Kross, as of right now, as of this moment, is not going back to WWE. That could change. But as of now, that's not happening. I don't know if they've had contact or anything, but it's just not a thing. He's got a lot of bookings right now. He's getting paid a lot for these bookings. I feel like they took some of the elements of the Cross character and applied them to Bo Dallas, Uncle Howdy, though, which I find very interesting. Right? Like there was... So I could see them applying some of them to AJ Styles as well, because the character was over big time. New Day promo. They called Morning Waller, Morning Kofi, and Morning Woods. That's cute. That's cute. Penta confronts Adam Pearce. He wants some gold, but Rusev interrupts. And Rusev ends up defeating Penta thanks to New Day and Waller. I know that when I come on this show, And I know there's a difference between news reporting, which is what I do at FightfulSelect.com very well, by the way. Got more stuff for you guys. But also, I come on here and I give you my subjective opinions on the pro wrestling show. And I know it's hard for you all to sit here and listen to me. And believe me when I tell you there was interference in a WWE Monday Night Raw match. I know that it's difficult. I know that you're sitting over there like, Sean, maybe you didn't see something correctly. Sean, maybe you're just lying. Maybe you just want to make it more interesting. And you're adding that there's an interference element to this match. And I got to look at you guys and go, no, I'm just being completely real with you guys. Being completely honest with you fellas. There was interference in a WWE Monday Night Raw match. Now, how we collect ourselves and progress as a society was such an unexpected thing. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not sure how to do it. I don't have the answers, okay? I just read the news. It's about as predictable as this Superman movie that you all keep burying me for. I don't know. All we can do is be there for one another. All we can do is support each other. And oh boy, I am ready for this comment. Stephen Bradley, don't mean this as a dig, but I've noticed you seem way more critical on WWE for interference in other promotions. AEW usually have one piece in every match. Stephen Bradley, my friend. Do you watch my Wednesday show? Stephen Bradley, do you watch my Wednesday show? Stephen Bradley, did you watch my Wednesday show in 2021, 2022, where Gang Wars was an ongoing bit? Say, Stephen Bradley, has AEW Dynamite had interference or a DQ in like 8 of the last 9 main events? I'm going to give you a spoiler. The answer is no. They haven't. This is every match on the show, Steven. Why can't it sit on its own? Why can't it be its own thing? Why does it got to be a, but what about AEW? But what about? I am reviewing this show. This show. I had people for so long say, man, you're being too hard on AEW. You're being too hard on AEW. Every week for like 6 months in AEW, I saw this a group of people run out. Did you watch our AEW post shows during the Death Riders era? There's Wheeler goddamn Yuta again. What are you talking about? This is not a thing where I have to go, oh, well, I criticized WWE Raw this much, so I need to criticize AEW Dynamite this much. Or, you know, I gave Dynamite this kind of review, so I've just gotta push it this way and weigh it a little bit different. Sometimes WWE Raw is gonna suck ass. Sometimes it's gonna be real good. Sometimes Dynamite's gonna suck ass. Sometimes it's going to be real good. Sometimes there's going to be periods of which there are story beats and elements and laziness that go on any particular show, and we're going to pick up on those, and we will probably criticize them if they're not good. I picked up on the habit that Jon Moxley has had after his world title run, and he said, you know what? I think I'm just going to open up Dynamite with a bunch of slappers, a bunch of really good matches. That's not lazy. That's just fun to watch. Usually ends clean. Cool. I don't have a lot to complain about there. I enjoy that. This is subjective entertainment. Tell me you haven't watched the Wednesday shows without telling me you haven't watched the Wednesday shows. Chris Jericho, every time he popped up on the air, we were criticizing it. Come on now. Don't be that. Don't be that.
What about?
You're better than that. Better than that, Steven. Ashley Hitchcock says, interference is a hoax. Stop believing your eyes. Ted DiBiase Jr.'s leg says, I think Superman was boring too. Not going to lie. Thank you. Thank you. I just watched it and I knew about the trained monkeys doing the trolling scene. And I go, oh, okay, I get it. There's going to be a Lex Luthor is going to, you know, convince the public that Superman is a bad guy. And I'm like, congrats. That's the plot of every Spider-Man film I've ever seen. Every franchise has that story. I don't need it. Don't need it. So Rusev eventually beats Penta. Good. I'm down for a Rusev continued push at this stage. I am all for it. I think that that's good. Especially after that match with Sheamus, that was just unbelievable. It was so good. I assume this will lead to Penta's brother joining him. Damon says, I love seeing Penta in singles matches, but I want to see the Lucha Bros tag team. Damon, I had a lot of people asking me about Andrade as well. And when I asked last week, he was not on the internal injury report. Now, whether or not that changes, I don't know. But at least when I asked last week, I was told that he was on the internal injury report. Matt Black says, can't take your Superman critiques seriously when you're plugging Freddie got fingered so much. Sorry, Sean. So, Matt Black, I like you too, Matt Black. But what are we talking about here? We're talking about me executive producing a Freddie Got Fingered review, which airs this Thursday night, September 11th. Please come and send super chats and humper chats. If you want to sponsor the show, please do that as well. But I'm not doing that because I say the movie is good or even entertaining. I'm doing it because the movie is either so terrible that it needs to be reviewed by Alex Pawlowski and Kate, or it is somehow performance art that I can't comprehend. As one of my top wide receivers just got drilled. But yes, I did use that as a plug. 100%. Please tune in this Thursday. I talked to Sean William Scott about that too. I let him know that I'm having my staff review Freddie Got Fingered, and he loved it. He was all about it. He wants more R-rated comedies in this world. You love to see it. You love to see it. You know what else you love to see? NordVPN.com/Fightful. Football season is here, my friends. You know what that means. Sometimes you got to get that Sunday ticket or Red Zone, whatever. Or you can just change your market with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Get a great deal. It's a 2-year subscription plus a four extra months. And it's like less than $3 a month on average. And that's for the basic tier. All you got to do is change your virtual location, then change the market and watch football games in any market. But maybe we're talking WWE, ESPN. You don't need it with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can just log onto your Netflix, change your virtual location, and you're good to go with all WWE content, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, PLEs. And listen, I see it, man. Inflation is kicking our asses, right? It is tough. So if you're a wrestling fan and you want to keep up with everything WWE, get NordVPN.com/Fightful. And if you say, you know what, I'm not sure if I want to keep this. I don't know. How will I know it won't be a waste of money for me? They got a 30-day money-back guarantee. They have 24/7 tech support to help you out if you need help figuring it out. But trust me, it's very easy. It's so easy to figure it out. Whether you're on your phone, your desktop, your laptop, PC. It's even on a bunch of smart TVs as well. You can apply it to your router and encompass everything with NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's a good time, y'all. Support NordVPN. Look at this. I love NordVPN. Just signed up for NordVPN. I love it. If you use NordVPN, let me know. Let me know. Nikki Bella meets backstage with Io Sky. And Asuka's like, get away from my friend, damn it. No, I will not be seeing Man of Tomorrow in 2027. Steven, you have disappointed me greatly this evening. How dare you? How dare you? And Io, you know, is not, she doesn't seem to be keen on all of this violent language from Asuka. But, I mean, we got Nikki Bella just, like, back full time now, I guess. That's what it seems like. Because Asuka made fun of Nikki, and then they did a match. Now, it's interesting. Stephanie Vaquer is not there. And Ryan says, Stephanie, or Sean, what's going on with Stephanie? Is she injured or dealing with something? Found it weird they just canceled the contract signing with Io. So, I had talent telling me they didn't know what was going on. Like, raw talent telling me that they didn't know what was going on with Stephanie Vaquer. But Adam Pearce and WWE, I should say that, when I asked people within WWE what the deal was with Stephanie, they're like, oh, well, she's still doing the match. Like, that's what we were all told today, was that she would be at the show doing the match for WrestlePalooza. So, unless something like crazy is up. David Foster says, do we need to organize a search party to find Stephanie Vaquer? Is it actually something they, or they just don't know how to build to this match? I don't think that they would just not have her there to just not have her there. I think that they probably would have just done the contract signing. Now, maybe they, I mean, in the Vince era, they would have never done it because neither one of them were native English speakers, but I think both of them do just fine. I think that all of them do, honestly, really, really well. And I think that there's probably more than meets the eye there, but also WWE is adamant that the match is going to happen. Asuka defeated Nikki, and Parker says, feel like both the top women's championships in WWE. Actually, I'll get that one. Those should have been organized a little bit better. Luis! Juju says, Nikki looked really confident today in comparison to Paris. People need to remember she had two out of three career-ending injuries and barely wrestles as is. Yeah, I mean, like, she's got to get reps in, man. Like, they don't have a bunch of live events or anything to do there. Like, they don't have that opportunity to really get those reps. They got to do it, like, it. Locally, I know that Nikki was going to the Dungeon 2.0 and doing some stuff there as well. But I mean, you got to do stuff like that in order to stand out and catch up in the ring, quite frankly, because otherwise you're going to be facing an uphill battle. And she did face an uphill battle at Clash in Paris, and it was much better this go. It was an okay match. It was fine. Now backstage, you saw Asuka and a very unwilling, again, Kairi confronting Nikki. And then Rhea came to the rescue backstage. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who's been booked like without direction. Parker Hines says, I feel like both of the women's top WWE championships are being booked like an afterthought. I haven't mentioned, or it wasn't in our notes, but Bayley's promo, I liked it, but you've been doing a lot of TV largely without Bayley there, but the vignettes are very good. I'm glad about that. Without Rhea doing much of anything with a direction on the show, you've really had to go out there and just sort of piecemeal it and say, oh, okay, well, we're going to bring back AJ, so let's build to that. And oh, hold on, here's the tag team titles are going to go over here. And we're bringing back Nikki Bella, and that's cool. But there hasn't been a lot of direction, so to speak, for Bayley, Rhea, except for those vignettes, which, again, I'm hopeful lead to something substantial. The Bayley vignettes are good. But Rhea is just running around, like, helping people. Is she sturdy wings? I don't know. It's a Sean William Scott reference for you. I don't know. She tired of them trying to BS a BSer? I don't know. What inspires her to help so much as opposed to anything else? And then, of course, Naomi, fortunately, having a very important life moment, so she's off the show. They built her heavily. Stephanie has barely been on the show since then. So where they were building a lot of this stuff on WWE Raw, I thought really well. It's kind of fallen off a little bit lately. AJ Lee has not fallen off. Man, what a just unbelievably good return. What an emotional return. And she's one of like the last people that can come back, make a big return somewhere. Name some other ones, guys. And I mean like some big ones that will affect business, so to speak. Because she definitely does. She says that she is, or she introduces herself to the younger fans who might not understand why their millennial parents are flipping out, which is fun. And says that she is your favorite wrestler's favorite wrestler. And talks about the mental health journey she went on, how she had to get healthy and all that stuff as well. And man, she's still got that presence. She's still got that charm. It turns on really, really well there. It's just good to see. She's got the presence. She said that she thought that she and Becky would get along. They got a lot in common. They're pretty similar. Brings up her New York Times best-selling book, which I'm sure she'll write another one, and it'll be fantastic as well. But it was a reintroduction promo is what it was. And it's good. After 10 years, of which she said that she thought that she was never going to come back, she did come back. And it is funny how she's like, she's leaning into the, oh my gosh, I'm so old, guys. And it's like, no, not on this show you're not, buddy. Not on WWE Monday Night Raw. You are not that old. I thought she held the presence very well. Becky Lynch came out looking like a million bucks, looking like a star. Noise says, love seeing Becky be an actual dislikable heel. Too many heels trying to be cool instead of trying to get booed. I think that there's a lot more doing the right thing these days. Kyle Fletcher does the right things. MJF does the right things. I think that Seth does the right things. Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed do the right things as far as like a heel that makes you want to boo. AJ Francis on TNA does the right things about getting someone to boo them and hate them and not like them. Trick Williams, when he's on TNA, also does that really well, I think. But Becky Lynch, actually, AJ Lee said that she finally had enough when Becky motorboated her husband, which was funny. And they go back and forth, but AJ's carrying the championship, the Intercontinental Championship, which she seems very proud of carrying. And I like that because you've got a person who is a massively, massively over talent, a returning talent, and one that has not, again, I said this last week, enjoyed the fruits of a lot of her labor for helping push the women's division to the point to where there was a demand for it. And she's got that Intercontinental title, of which she's never won, a three-time Divas Championship, or champion winner. There was no women's title. It was just the Divas Championship back then. I say just. It was the Divas Championship then. And she's got a hold of that title belt and it means something to her. You can tell it does. She likes it. She's not just trolling Becky Lynch. It's important to her. And she says, all right, if you want your belt back, you can come in here and get it, or you've got another option. And then Seth goes in there and tries to take it from her, and it doesn't work. And she says, all right, how about a match? And eventually, Seth Rollins is goaded into accepting it. Becky Lynch is not thrilled at all. And this is that good stuff, man. I like it. You can't do a lot of these like really, really long talking segments with, even with Seth Rollins. I think they've done it far too much. But I thought this was a really great reintroduction of AJ Lee. And the fact that they were able to bring her back after, you know, all this time was fantastic. I'll give you some enticement to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I'm always pushing it. But here's some of the things that we had reported last week. And I talked about it on the air a little bit, but across AEW and WWE, there were a lot of women that were like needling CM Punk, like, hey, let's get AJ Lee out of retirement. And he'd be like, ha ha ha, yeah, yeah, okay. And from what I understood, he was very respectful of his wife's wishes and didn't seem like he wanted to push her back if she didn't want to come back. Wow Women of Wrestling, I believe, asked her if she wanted to, and she was like, nope, don't want to. I'll do the other stuff for you. And there had been pitches over the last, was it almost 2 years since Punk came back. And then we get shot down really quickly over the first year, year and a half-ish or so. And then of late, they weren't getting shot down with the same quickness. So that led to some people saying, oh, okay, so this is a possibility. It's a real possibility. And she did sign a contract. Triple H posted that. I'm told it is not a one-off. I know that some people out there have reported full-time deal, multi-year. I don't have the specifics on that. Like, I can assume that, but I don't have the specific details, like, on that. But she's a great one to have back. Now, what they need to do is put some care into that SmackDown women's creative, please. Gary says, I was hoping Punk was going to take Seth's title, too. I think that would be kind of good. Like, that was, they steal both titles, and it's like them, quote-unquote, defending them. This is like a good old family ganking, right? They just steal it. When do you think Nikki and AJ face off? That'll be like a low-priority one. They had heat back in the day, is what I heard, but it's long been gone from what I understand. But I would imagine probably Royal Rumble, they'll come face to face and they'll do the, oh, yeah, 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 oh, okay. They'll look around at the crowd. Oh, look, us, me and you in the same ring again. Oh, fancy to see you here. Oh, my gosh, we've been in the same company for 4 months now, but here, you'll see one of those moments in the Royal Rumble probably. That's a trope, a big trope. The old, oh, these people are going to interact. And then it gets cut off. I'll tell you what's not getting cut off. That Freddie Got Fingered review on Thursday night. Tune in Thursday night for some fun. But also Wednesday. I had mentioned this. I don't think I mentioned this on the Raw show last week because I found out Tuesday. Jimmy Van taking a hiatus from the hump, from Fightful for a little bit. He's going to still be doing work behind the scenes and stuff, but just taking a break. He will be back. But we had John Alba fill in for him the first week. We had Andrew Baydala the second week. Here's some of the great guests we have lined up. This Wednesday, Tom Campbell. So excited to have him on the show. Next week, we are going to have Denise Salcedo. We're going to be making our WrestlePalooza and All Out predictions on the hump. 2 p.m. Eastern each Wednesday. on the 24th, I've got Frank the Clown, the day that his show on Fox debuts. And we're just keeping it rolling, guys. We got some big heavy hitters here. On October 1st, I have Luke Owen, my good friend from Wrestle Talk. Whenever I found out Jimmy was going to take a little bit of a break, oh my God, that fumble that we just saw, that snap in the Bears game. Oh, but when I first realized Jimmy was going to take a break, Luke was one of the first people I wanted to contact. And October 8th, by far, and I mean, all due respect to everybody else, not even close, the most requested guest was Ibu. Ibu will be back on Fightful on October 8th. Very excited to have that. Love talking shop with Ibu. But October 15th, another one I'm very much looking forward to. Simon Miller, who I just think is one of the best content creators to ever exist in pro wrestling, period, point blank, ever. I think that Simon Miller is one of the most wonderful individuals ever, and very, very excited to have him on as well. But my God, we got a pretty good slate, huh? I've got a few others lined up already. I just can't announce them yet. But guys, please leave a thumbs up. Listen to me. Look at me. Please tune into this Freddy Got Fingered review. If you don't, I am going to take it personally. Everything bad that people say that I do on Twitter and all that stuff, I don't actually do it, but I will if you don't watch this review, at least a few minutes of it. This means something to me. This is important to me. Don't let the fact that I bought these puppets for Alex and Kate go to waste. This is my livelihood, okay? I even posted their hot rod review so you guys could get a little preview. You kidding me? How's that doing? Has it hit 1K yet? Have even 1,999 views? If one of you don't go click on that review right now and get it above 1K, I'm going to flip out. Just the fact that it did 1,000, I was honestly like, all right, cool. The review's like 6 months old. I want to say thank you to you guys. Check out our Kazarian interview. The Danielson interview will be up on Down Under the Ring very soon, and then it'll be up on Fightful after that. But I think we're going to probably release a shorts version of our Layla interview tomorrow or Tuesday on Fightful. Until next time, my friends, we're out.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.